From the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket with courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala as she breaks down the trials in the Bexar County Courthouse. I'm Joy Marie Scott. This week, a judge in San Antonio denied a request to lower the bail for a San Antonio man accused of intentionally setting the shopping center blaze that caused the death of a San Antonio firefighter in 2017.
It's been a really, really bad night for the San Antonio Fire Department. Every day we run about 800 plus calls and we take care of people who are having the worst days of their life. And unfortunately this evening we have one of our worst days.
Eamon Johnson was 39 when he was arrested, and he was charged with arson resulting in death and murder. Both are first degree felonies. Firefighter Scott Deem died battling a large fire that authorities believe was started by Johnson at his gym. Investigators say Johnson was behind on lease payments for the gym and other debts. Scott Deem was 31. He was married, he was the father of two, and after his death, his wife had their third child. Now, Liz, this is a new discussion for the docket. Tell us about the fire.
Yes, Joy, this is a really tragic case. Eamon Johnson was the owner of the Spartan Box, which was located in the Ingram Square Shopping Center. And as you said, he's accused of starting the fire at his gym on May 18th, 2017, which resulted in the death of Scott Deem and also injured two firefighters, Brad Phipps and Robert Vasquez. A five-month investigation led authorities to believe that Johnson was in extreme financial distress. And he said later on to have told authorities that he set the fire because he was $7,000 behind on lease payments for the gym, and he owed $12,000 on five other accounts. And Johnson told investigators he used a disposable lighter to ignite a mixture of gasoline and oil, which had been spilled at the gym. And that was what set the fire in the mall. The ceiling apparently crashed on the three firefighters while they were pulling tiles from the ceiling so that they could find the origin of the fire. And this fire was so intense that we reported on that night of May 18th that firefighters from Station 35 were dispatched to the shopping center. And this is near Ingram and Wurzbach Roads, near the far west side of San Antonio. So firefighters saw cars parked outside the Spartan Box and went on the offensive to try to rescue any victims that could have been inside the building. So once they were inside, they found heavy smoke pouring from the 86,000 plus square foot building. And this area also housed the Texas thrift store and a driving school. So firefighters upgraded the call to a stage 2 fire and requested more help. So eventually more than 80 units would respond to this call on the far west side. So 8 minutes after they arrived, the first Mayday call echoed over the radio, and what followed over the course of the next 2 hours was a frantic search and rescue operation, which we hear at times was full of confusion, and, you know, because they were trying to rescue three missing firefighters. And there was so much smoke that firefighters were said to have zero visibility. Now, they were able to find the two firefighters, but they could not find Scott Deem. So faced with the possibility that one of the toughest decisions he had to make, Fire Chief Charles Hood ordered his firefighters out of the building, fearing that the roof would collapse on them, and they had to leave Scott Deem behind.
We have firefighters that fought fire desperately tonight to try to save their friend's life. You work with people for a third of your life in this job, and any one of us would lay down our lives for another firefighter, and they fought heroically.
It's such a tragic story when you think that it was less than $20,000 of debt.
You know, that, you know, when you hear how this happened and how all of this, what must have been just so chaotic and so emotional for these firefighters, and getting to this place and seeing a parking lot that had all these cars, and then, you know, going in there and having this happen. I mean, gosh, hindsight, you know.
So Eamon has been in jail since he was arrested, and his bail was denied. So what happened during the bond hearing?
Well, you know, he was indicted by a Bexar County grand jury on a slew of charges, and his bond has been, you know, he's in jail for over $1 million bond. But when he was first indicted, there were several charges. And since the cases have been re-indicted, they have focused on the charges of murder and arson resulting in death, as you mentioned, both first-degree felonies. So during the hearing, he and his attorney, Miguel Najera, appeared before criminal magistrate Judge Andrew Carruthers over this bail, which at this point totals $1.2 million. And that would be $1 million on the murder charge and $200,000 on the arson resulting in death charge. So during the hearing, Miguel Najera argued that his client's family does not have the money to come up with on their part for his release. And Johnson's brother testified that the family could barely collect $5,000, which is not near what they would need to post bail. Normally, people need to put down at least 10%, you know, for someone to be released on bond. So meanwhile, while the defense attorney argued, you know, that he's been in jail for several months, prosecutor Emily Angulo argued to Judge Carruthers that Johnson was extremely delinquent on his bills, and while he has been in the Bexar County Jail, he has been involved in some disciplinary actions, including one where he was said to have told a jailer that he does not follow rules, which is why he was in jail in the first place. So for those reasons and others, she asked Judge Carruthers to not lower his bond. And she also stated that she felt that he would be a flight risk. And plus, this was a really interesting thing that also came up in the hearing. Emily Angulo mentioned that after the fire, Johnson had created a GoFundMe page to rebuild his gym, noting his tragedy and not that of the firefighter victims that were involved. And according to what was said in court, Johnson collected and spent more than $2,000 from that GoFundMe page.
So in the months after the fire, there were the investigations conducted as to what might have gone right and wrong during the course of fighting the blaze. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Joy, as you know, we've reported extensively on this tragic fire and what might have gone right and what might have gone wrong in it. There was an independent review team that found that the department commanders and firefighters had made some mistakes while battling the blaze. Among them, when a firefighter went into the gym to save possible victims and pulled down the tiles from the ceiling, that the review found that that action was what brought the fire down on them. And that move apparently is typical, only to find origin of the fire and not really used during search and rescue operations, which, as we mentioned earlier, was what the firefighters were doing at the time because, you know, when they arrived, they saw so many cars in the parking lot, they thought that there could have been people inside of the building. But, you know, ultimately, and I should say that Chief Charles Hood has acknowledged that there were likely some mistakes that were made, but you know, ultimately this fire was intentionally set, and firefighters went to that scene to battle a blaze, and very much under the impression that there were people inside the building who needed to be saved, and sadly, there were none.
This is such a tragic case. What happens next in the trial process for Eamon Johnson?
Well, right now, Joy, court records indicate that Johnson has a trial date of September 6th, which is a few months from now. And that is one of the main reasons that his lawyer wanted for him to be released on bond so that he could help with the defense in his own case. So right now, with Eamon Johnson still in jail, you know, we'll be checking the dockets, you know, for any other hearing dates and possibly maybe even another request to lower his bail. Otherwise, the next time we discuss this case could be during trial, and we should know more by September 6th.
Well, thank you, Liz. You can read more about this case, and you can read more of Elizabeth Zavala's reporting on theexpressnews.com. For the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket, and I'm Joy Marie Scott.